Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps once again. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I've got a very advanced project. It is an IPO that's coming up by the name of iTech Minerals. ASX code will be ITM. Joining me today is Michael Schwartz, the Managing Director. And these guys have got battery and critical minerals down there in South Australia. Michael, great to see you. Welcome to Small Caps.
Thanks, Kerry, and thanks for having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Well, just before we start, because I was very impressed with your website. What's the website? If you can just tell everybody the website address, because, guys, you've got to go check out the website. It is one of the best ones I've seen.
Yeah, sure. So it's www.itechminerals.com.au. And we really put it together so that everybody get a chance to have a look at what we're doing. We really like to see that regular investors can see as much as everybody else. So that's how we've structured the website.
Well, I'm impressed. I think it's fantastic. So the prospectus is there, ladies and gentlemen, because this is an IPO. Michael, before we get into detail, I did say it was battery and critical minerals in South Australia, but give us a quick overview of where you're at and what the projects are.
Okay, sure. So most of the projects I'll be talking about are in South Australia today. They're based on the Eyre Peninsula and also in a geological region called the Nacra Arc. So that's in the eastern part of South Australia. They're very close to critical infrastructure, which is very important because the two main commodities we're looking at, which are kaolin and halloysite and also graphite, are really considered to be industrial minerals. So if you're close to infrastructure such as ports and mining cities, mining towns, then that makes those projects so much more attractive.
Before we go into detail, for those that don't know, kaolin and the H word that you said that I can't pronounce, what are they used for?
Okay, so the traditional uses for kaolin and halloysite are in ceramics, so for making tableware and a lot of other similar sort of components like that. They also are used in quite advanced ceramics, such as in engineering, those sorts of things. But the main market really is in China, where they make a lot of the tableware, hotelware, and things like that. But we're looking at more technologically advanced applications for it. So you might have heard of high purity alumina.
Yep.
There's a new technology where you can leach the aluminium oxide out of the clay and make high purity alumina from these clays. So traditionally, the way that it used to be done was to convert bauxite into aluminium metal, which is very expensive and energy intensive. This technology has the potential to be disruptive and produce high purity alumina at a lot lower cost. And we consider that to be an application in the battery metal space because they use this HPA as a separator between the anode and the cathode, so the positive and the negative terminals in lithium batteries. And it makes them a lot safer because it's a very tough material. It's essentially artificial sapphire. So, if you have a bus full of people, you've got batteries in there, you want to make sure those batteries are safe. If there's, heaven forbid, a crash or anything like that, if you've got HPA separators, it protects those anodes and cathodes or the batteries from shorting out very well, as opposed to some of the plastics they've used in the past. So for safer electric vehicles, this material has a big role to play.
And how big is the market, do you think, at the moment? What's the price from an investor's point of view? Is the price strong? Is it what's the supply demand like? How big is the market?
We believe the market is very large. Really, what is stopping the uptake of HPA into lithium-ion batteries at the moment is the lack of availability. So it is costly at the moment being produced from aluminium metal. As more and more players in the field start producing it from kaolin, we believe those costs will come down, and that will meet the cost requirements of the battery manufacturers.
So how big is your project down there in South Australia? And how far advanced is it?
Sure. So probably our most advanced project is in the Nacra Arc. It's called the Franklin Project, and that's in the east of South Australia, close to the industrial city of Port Pirie, where there's a lead-zinc silver smelter. So we've got good infrastructure there as far as skilled workforce. We're a little bit further out, probably about 70 k's out, where our exploration target is. It's about 45 to 91 million tonnes, which is a very large exploration target of between 30 and 36% aluminium oxide. So that might not mean a lot to most people.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, so you know, anything above 30 is considered to be a pretty high grade for aluminium oxide. That's what we can get out of it. So ranging from 30 to 36, it's right up there. At a good high grade style of exploration target, and the 45 to 91 million tonnes is, you know, it's pretty considerable. It'd be as large as most of the people looking in the space.
Michael, how did you guys get your hands on this project? I'm curious as to why nobody else has picked it up before.
We were able to acquire all the exploration assets of Archer Materials. So I have worked with Greg English in the past, and he approached me to have a look at these exploration assets. So the reason he did that was that Archer Materials is now heavily focused on quantum computing, and they have had great success in that area. They've gone from a market cap of something like, I would say, you know, 15 odd million back when they first started this, up to plus, you know, 300 million odd. So their shareholders have had a significant ride and some great returns. Now, they're really focused on deep tech. They don't have the resources or really, I guess, the value behind their company to focus on the exploration assets. And they felt they had a lot of value and they needed to get value for their shareholders. So they've asked iTech to take those projects on. They're doing an in-specie distribution to all their shareholders, so their shareholders will still own those projects, and we will take those projects forward and try to create as much value as we can for the Archer shareholders.
Now, I mentioned right at the start that this is an IPO. The Archer shareholders will get an in-specie distribution. What are you raising? When's the offer open? When's it closed? Just give us the details around the IPO.
Sure. So it's a 20 cent IPO. Our minimum is 5 million, maximum of 7. As part of that, the Archer shareholders get a $2 million priority offer first. We've opened it last Wednesday, so it's open right now, and we are closing it on the 6th of October. So we're hoping to list towards the end of the year.
Okay, so what were the Archer shareholders? Are they very pro all this? Are they happy with what's going on? What's their reaction been to this?
Look, yeah, I've been trawling various websites to see the reaction, and have been pleasantly surprised that the vast majority are definitely in favour. They were wondering what was going to happen to the mineral assets. A lot of them got into Archer on the basis of those mineral assets, and they're keen to see them. Keen to see them progress. So to give you an idea, out of the applications we've had online so far through the priority offer, about 70% of those have been from Archer shareholders.
Oh, okay.
So they are backing us, and they're backing us big time. So we are very, very pleased about that.
Oh, well, that's exciting. That's good. Just going back to, because you've got a couple of projects, and we will go through those. Going back to the kaolin and the H works, I can't pronounce it. you know I can't, Michael.
Halloysite, there we go.
Halloysite. What's halloysite used for? Is that in ceramics as well?
Yeah, so it adds strength to the ceramics. It's like, if I think of it like fiberglass, how you have glass fibers in fiberglass, and they add a resin to it, and those fibers add strength. So kaolin in its natural form is a plate. Like a hexagonal plate. The halloysite is that same plate, but it's rolled up like a sheet of paper, so it forms a tube. So when you have these fiber-like tubes in the ceramics, it adds strength and it also adds some luster to the ceramics as well. But when you start looking at technological applications for the halloysite, I guess to put it in context, over the past couple of years, there's been 1,000 research papers published on potential applications for this stuff. So to name a few, they're looking at putting like various drugs inside these nanotubes, we call them. So very tiny tubes. And they can force them to be slow release. So people can ingest these clays. Would you believe people used to eat clay as an appetite suppressant?
Really?
So it's benign to the human body.
Can you send some over, Michael?
Don't worry. It could be an idea. So, yeah, it's even got a scientific term, geophagy or something like that, I think, is that it comes to mind. But so it's very safe for the human body. So you can put drugs inside these cylinders in these tubes and have slow release. So one of the applications that has been looked at is for cancer treatment, where you can put cancer drugs inside, go put them into the bloodstream, and then have a slow release to target the cancer cells over time. Wow. It's amazing the potential applications for this stuff. And they can put fertilizers inside this stuff and, you know, put the fertilizer, spread the clay out onto to crops and soils and have a slow release fertilizer over time without, you know, any additional chemicals. So
goodness me, humans are clever, aren't they?
We are. And so really the only thing that's limiting the application of this stuff is the availability. So we're looking at halloysite quite seriously in these deposits to see if we can get significant resources and bring them to market to meet some of these demands for the technological applications.
Okay, so in terms of what you're doing, is there exploration around the current deposit? What's the news flow going to be out of the kaolin and the H word?
Okay, so we have our more advanced project in the Nacra Arc that I talked about, which has got confirmed halloysite in it in quite high concentrations, up to 30%+. We do have another couple of projects on the Eyre Peninsula. One of them is the Ethiopia prospect. That was drilled by a company called Adelaide Resources back in about 2007. And they were originally looking for uranium back in the uranium boom that was back then. But because this clay is outcropping, it produces a slight radiometric response, the uranium, you know, the clays in the uranium tend to give a very weak response. And they were looking at that and they realized that it wasn't a uranium deposit. There were very low levels. But what they didn't test for was the clay. So we've gone back to the samples, got all of their samples, and found nice thick white intersections of clay over a kilometre square plus. So we've got all those samples. We're putting them into the labs now and are hoping to have the results of that material back just after we list. So some pretty early news flow from that project.
Okay, so that's quite advanced. Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, it is. And one of the other interesting things that's come out of that, there was a company, I think it's Australian Rare Earths in South Australia, that have looked at rare earths associated with clays. So I interestingly looked at our project at Ethiopia to see if there were any rare earths. Now, when you're looking for uranium, as Adelaide Resources were, they tested for a rare earth called cerium, which can give a false uranium anomaly response as well. And they're really quite elevated in this material. So these are called ionic absorption clay deposits or rare earth deposits. So there's indications in this material that there could be rare earths attached to it as well. So we're submitting it both for clay, for kaolin halloysite, and also doing some rare earths analysis on it to see if we can't jag something there.
So if there were rare earths, that would put some added value to the deposit, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the beauties of these types of deposits is that the rare earths are very weakly bound to the clay. So as part of the beneficiating the clay to make a product either for ceramics or for some technological use, you could strip out the rare earths theoretically and have them as like a credit to the whole process.
Okay, well, that's kaolin, and that's the exploration that you're doing around the kaolin projects and the H word. I just want to find out, you've also got a graphite project down in South Australia, is that correct?
Yeah, so our second main project that we were very excited about was one that was very advanced by Archer prior them to spinning off into quantum computing. So they have a fully permitted, or we do now, a fully permitted graphite project on the Eyre Peninsula. There's a resource there of about 8.5 million tonnes, about 9% total graphitic carbon, which is, it's a modest-sized deposit, but good grade, potential to build on that significantly. But importantly, Archer did a positive scoping study on that back in 2016. And so what we really need to do to advance that from now is to update that scoping study to 2021 prices. So while it's all fully permitted and pretty much ready to go, we want to have surety of the economics of that project. So so pre-IPO at the moment, we're starting to get that process underway, getting all of the new figures and facts in there, and having that ready, that material ready for when we are listed on the ASX, so that we can advance that project pretty quickly.
Will you be doing that in lockstep with the Kaolin and Halesite? I think I spelled that right. I said that correctly. Project.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that concurrently. So both of them at the same time. So there's a lot of news flow that we're planning to have on very early on without really having to get a drill rig on the ground. We're using previous drilling programs and analysing their material, and then working off the back of all the Archer work that they had done previously. Now, we do plan to have a drill rig out before the end of the year, and I've got drilling contactors in place because we're expecting those Kaolin projects to be able to be advanced very quickly. So we're getting on the ground, we're talking to landowners now and getting all the necessary approvals in place to get out and get drilling as well.
You've also, from what I've read, you've got some strong partnerships with some R&D organisations. What's that about? Is that to advance these projects and to get offtake agreement? What's the connection there?
So being industrial minerals, when you have an offtake partner, they really want to understand the specifics of your material and whether they can use it for their applications. So one of the problems that has been in the past is working out how much halloysite in particular is in any particular client kaolin product. Now, we were working with CSIRO to work on a new technique to cheaply and efficiently analyse for halloysite. So normally one of the largest costs has been up to $300 to $400 per sample to analyse for halloysite and do all of the geochemistry. So people have done bulk composites over drill holes, they've batched them together and then limited the number of samples that they're analysing. We're looking at bringing that cost down to below $50.
Oh, wow.
So that we can do a lot more analysis and have a lot more confidence in the quality of our deposits. So that's really where we're working with CSIRO. And we've also got an agreement with Dorfner Ansaplan, who are a group based in Germany. Now, they came out of a parent company called Dorfner, who are one of Europe's largest kaolin miners. So they have expertise in beneficiating kaolin. Wow. And we're getting them on board to help us with all of the engineering and the project design about how to build the beneficiation plants. Now, luckily, they're also specialists in battery materials beneficiation as well. They have specialist graphite division where they look at producing spherical graphite. And also one of the key factors is upgrading your graphite from 95% to 99% to get it to battery specifications.
Yep.
And the traditional way to do that has been using hydrofluoric acid, which is a nasty chemical.
Yeah. Mm.
They've got a HF-free technique. So Archer have all this material they've collected in a warehouse here in Adelaide. We're sending that off now to get that process underway so that we can have all the answers very early on for our scoping study.
So ladies and gentlemen, it is an IPO, but it's not really, this is not exploration. This is advanced projects which are well underway towards scoping studies. And I guess for the Kaolin and halloysite projects is to get into production. Is that going to be 1 to 5 years? What are you looking at for there? Because that for an investor is, well, there's potential revenue down the track.
Sure. So, I mean, the graphite is the most advanced. We'll be updating that scoping study, I would say, within 3 months from listing. We'll have all the results of that test work back. We would then look, we have to go to a pre-feasibility, definitive feasibility. I would say, within a couple of years, having subject to getting suitable offtake agreements, there's the potential for that project to be in production. And talking about the kaolin side of things, something I didn't mention was that it is very relative to drilling for gold or copper, which can be deep and in hard rock. The kaolin's quite soft and at surface, so we would drill that with a drill rig on the back of a Toyota, and you can do quite broadly spaced holes. So it's a fraction of the cost to define a resource for one of those, and a fraction of the time than it is for your traditional gold or copper deposits. So yeah, so you've got the opportunity to get something again in the 2-year timeframe into production, subject to everything going well. So both of those projects have the opportunity to have, you know, returns to investors in very short timeframes.
I was going to ask, you know, it's an IPO, 20 cents a share. Where's the value add for shareholders, do you think?
So I think when we put the scoping study out for the graphite, and we get some proper modern 2021 economic numbers around that, that will crystallise value for shareholders. When we get the results back from the Ethiopia prospect, where we have all that drilling done by Adelaide Resources and that REE potential, rare earth potential as well, that will probably be one of the earliest. I think that will be a crystallisation point for value. And then down the track, once we establish JORC compliant resources on the kaolin and halloysite projects, that will start to show people and allow us to do comparisons with some of our peers in the area, which, you know, some of them have some pretty nice market caps, say Andromeda Metals, which are looking for kaolin halloysite, you know, 400 million plus.
I know.
And they're over on the western side of the Eyre Peninsula. We're on the eastern side, closer to Whyalla, the industrial city of Whyalla. And also another, I guess, potential peer is Renascor in graphite. They're only about 40 k's to the south of our graphite resource.
Okay.
So, you know, there's another one that's a multi-hundred million dollar market cap company that we would like to get into the, you know, that sort of space very quickly with, you know, positive results from our exploration and development programs.
Are your projects about the same size? Because I was going to ask you post IPO, what's the capital structure going to be? Is it a tight capital structure? What's your market cap going to be?
Sure.
Because we're running out of time, Michael.
Questions. So we're going to have... we're going to have about 80 to 90 million shares on issue, depending on how many, how much we raise, whether it's the 5 or 7 million. And it's going to have an EV of between 17 million and 19 million. So it's a pretty tight capital structure, you know, and if you're looking at an EV of, you know, 17 to 19, that's far short of some of those potential peers. So, you know, we believe there's a lot of upside that we can crystallize value very quickly and get up into the realms of what those guys are doing.
Well, that actually makes that makes a lot of sense to me as an investor, that the numbers make sense to me. Sure. We're running out of time, Michael. I've got to ask you very quickly, because this is how I finish all my interviews.
Sure.
Three reasons why investors need to sit up and take notice of ASX code ITM, the IPO on the block this week.
Sure. So our company is a battery materials and critical minerals company, which is a space we believe has a lot of potential in the electrification of the economy. Our kaolin and halloysite projects, they have the potential to be very cheaply and quickly explored, resources developed and got into production quickly. And finally, our graphite project, that's a fully permitted project, which we believe we can get into production quickly and add value very quickly for shareholders.
There's a lot of information there. You're very well advanced. The IPO, as we said, if you go to itechminerals.com.au, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a very well thought out. All the information is there, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Schwartz, great to chat with you today on Small Caps. Good luck with the IPO, and I look forward to the news flow coming forward.
Thanks, Kerry. It's been an absolute pleasure.